Kedushin Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel 3:3, and a Mishnah very similar to the previous. Here again, the man who's being Makadosh, the woman, is doing it al Tanai, making conditions, and the conditions really parallel the previous Mishnah, except here we're talking about conditions involving land as opposed to money. So the Mishnah says, Al Manas Shieshli Base Kur Afar. If the man says, Hareya Mekudeshli, he gives her a ring and says, you're married to me on condition that I have a base kur, that's an area of land, of afar, of dirt, meaning I own land, significant land. Now, again, it could be any amount of land, but the base kur happens to be a very large amount, pretty much the largest amount in the Mishnaic dictionary. In just a moment on this point, a kur is equal to 30 sa'a. The sa'a is the standard measure, but these are volumes. A sa'a, in my handy-dandy imagination, is 12 liters, meaning it's, you can think of it as 6 two-liter bottles. Because each, okay, so if that's the case, so 30 of, that's one sa'a, so 30 of those makes a kur. So 30 times 12 is 360 liters, or roughly 100 gallons. So think of, you can think of 36 packs of water, though. Now, those are volumes, but a base kur is the amount of area in which one could plant a kur worth of seeds, which is a very big area. It works out to being 75,000 square amos, because the calculation is that a base sa'a is 2,500 square amos, 50 by 50. So that's a big space. It's roughly like 3 American football fields or 2 FIFA soccer fields. It's very big. Okay, so that's what he says. So then, Harezu Mekudeshes, the woman then is Mekudeshes, she's married, Ve'yeshlo, provided that he indeed owns a massive field. If he says, Almanas Yeshli Makom Ploni, oh, sorry, I should have said, if you're going to ask, wait a second, this is already kind of old news. I mean, we just said in the previous Mishnah, if he says, I have money, then he has to have it or not. What's the difference? So the thought is that when it comes to owning land, there's sort of like, it's more public information, and therefore there will be rumors going around, you know, it's kind of, people know who owns and doesn't own whatever they're claiming they own, because word gets around, and therefore you might have thought that would have some impact on this issue, but it doesn't. The bottom line is, we're not going to rely on any rumors, and we need to know what he has. If he has it, meaning we'd have witnesses confirming he has it, then we believe him, and if not, then not. Doesn't matter what the rumors do or don't say. If he says, Almanas Shieshli Makom Ploni, he says, on condition that I have this base core of land in a specific place, you know, 10 miles from here, in the mountains, I have a whatever base core or something. So then, im yeshlo, but also makum, if he has it in that place, so then mukudeshes, she's married, and if not, then not. Vim lav in a mukudeshes. Again, the idea here is that a base land, I should say, is not exactly the same as money, because where the land is located makes a difference. And therefore, if he says he has, you know, his base court 10 miles from here, but really it's 20 miles from here, so he'll not be married, because she doesn't want her husband having to travel so far away and being away from home for so long, etc. And therefore, if he says it's in, you know, place A, but really it's in place B, and place B is further away, then he won't be married. Almanas she'arech base kur afar. If he says, we're married, here's the ring, on condition that I show you a base kur of land, so then obviously he needs to own the base kur of land. Harei zu mekudeshes v'yir'ena. They'll be married, but provided he shows her the land that he owns. So that means, unlike the previous case, witnesses that testify that he owns the land is not good enough. She has to see it with her own eyes. And the Mishnah points out, kind of the obvious, like the previous Mishnah, vimhera bibika, if he shows her like a stretch of land that he is a sharecropper or a tenant farmer in, and a mukadeshes, they won't be married. Because even though he's saying, this is analogous to the previous Mishnah where we had, you know, him having working capital. If this guy is a sharecropper or a tenant farmer, that's chakiris and kablanis, it doesn't matter for now. The point is, he actually doesn't own the land. He essentially is leasing it. And he's paying the real landowner a fixed amount of, you know, produce, you know, 30 bushels of wheat every year that it produces, or he says, I'll give you, you know, a third of the wheat it produces, whatever it is. In both those cases, really, the ultimate landowner is not him. He just is like a long-term leaser. And therefore, even if he has been on this, you know, this plot of land for 100 years, and it's been since his great-great-grandfather, it doesn't matter. If he doesn't own the land free and clear, presumably, and any normal woman would have understood him to mean that if he says he has the land, it means he owns it free and clear. It's his land. So then if he doesn't own it, and he shows her some land that he is a sharecropper on or a tenant farmer, that won't be good enough, and they won't be married. I just want to speak out for a moment. I'm going to contrast this with if a person actually owned land but had a mortgage on it, so then he would be married, okay? Because if you're talking about a mortgage, you own the whole land, but then you have a debt to the bank, but it's a dollar debt. It's not actually, the bank doesn't own any piece of your property. So that would be good enough. And in contrast, in the previous mission, we talked about showing money that he has like working capital. And I said it could be also for a loan as well. So there it kind of nets out. And if he says, I have 200 zuz, he has to have like a net worth of 200 zuz minus what he owes the bank. When it comes to land, if he owns the land itself, even if he has other liabilities like a mortgage that he owes the bank, he would indeed be married.